From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. So many folks are hooked on reality television, especially reality television dating shows. So what is it about them that draws us in and then makes us watch so much and care so much and invest so much of our time and our attention? Well, author Julia Argy delves into all of this in her newest novel, The One. And we're lucky enough to have her here with us on the show. Julia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So first question for you, kind of give us a synopsis of The One and what inspired you to write it.
Sure. So the book is set on a reality dating show called The One, and it follows a contestant named Emily over the course of the season. She is not a reality dating show aficionado, so she comes in kind of unaware of all of the pressure that's going to be on her and what the experience is going to be like. And the novel tracks her experience as she manages her producer, her relationship with the lead, and all of the other contestants that she's basically stuck in a mansion with for weeks on end. And so the reason I started getting interested in this is because I have never been a producer and I've never been a contestant, but I have been a viewer of all sorts of these dating shows for quite a long time. And I, like you said earlier, was interested in why are there so many of them? Why do millions of people watch them? What are we getting out of these shows that, you know, otherwise seem kind of not based in reality, I would say, not mm-hmm. super successful at ending up with long-term happy relationships. And they're all kind of similar to each other, yet there are so many of them. And they're so watchable. And I was really interested in that question as I started writing the book.
You know, it's interesting. I read a quote that you had in regards to the book, and I want to read a little bit of it because you said, quote, "Writing this book helped me to understand not only what viewers get from watching these shows, but also how these shows perpetuate myths about gender and love. And they raise questions around self-exploitation, privacy, surveillance, and social media," unquote. I was really fascinated by that because I am a watcher of reality television, television dating shows. And I ask myself all those questions as well when I watch this, kind of like, would I have been interested in doing any of this if I had been, younger, right? Like I think about the Bachelor franchise, for example. I mean, I was in my 20s when that came out, but it would have never occurred to me to put my whole life out there on display. So, you know, what was it about all of these, I think, gender issues and in a way how exploitative these shows are that you found or that you maybe, you know, had an aha moment about?
Yeah. So I think with the ubiquity of social media these days, even though I'm not really engaged in that world personally, I felt this overwhelming sense that, you know, people would go to a restaurant and get an egg sandwich and be like, this is a beautiful egg sandwich. I should now take a really attractive picture of myself eating a very beautiful egg sandwich and show this off to the world as my beautiful life. And that seemed really a mind warp to me, that small moments were being performed for an audience that wasn't even present around you. It wasn't like you were telling your friend, this is the best egg sandwich I've ever had. It's this imagined hypothetical world on the internet. And when I started getting uncomfortable with this instinct that I was feeling not even being part of social media and also saw around me, I thought, this is what happens on these reality shows where you're watched all the time, like dialed up to 100. The reality mm-hmm. shows with the 24/7 surveillance and the constant like performance for a larger eventual audience is the hyper reality version of the world that we're living in. And so that was kind of the, beyond my personal enjoyment of the shows, that was the idea, like philosophical interest that I had in this book, was exactly what you're talking about, this world of social media getting translated to these shows and then refracting back onto our daily lives.
You know, I think back to when these reality shows started, right? Social media wasn't even a thing, or it was such in its infancy. And And now, you know, we hear this all the time that people go on these shows to become influencers, you know, to gain clout. I mean, they kept using the word clout. I literally had to look it up because I was like, what are they talking about? What does that mean? That just shows I'm old. But it also, I think, adds this whole layer of what these reality shows are, and frankly, the fact that they're not reality. And when you were writing the book with Emily's character, I mean, how do you deal with those questions of this intersectionality of what's real and what's not? I mean, what's, even though, yes, they're filming her life, it's not really her life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that arc of kind of these reality shows in general with the rise of social media was something I was really interested in. The book is definitely set in a present social media filled world where some of the contestants are going on the show for clout. You know, you can go on one of these shows and gain a significant enough following to be making a lot of money every year, and that can be a new career path for you. And so I think from the beginning of the show, where the contestant was, you know, your waitress Wendy, and then she leaves the show and returns to being your waitress Wendy, now the unreality is much more heightened because there's this conversation going on within the shows themselves about who is there for this kind of long-term social media, who is there for quote unquote finding love. That is now very present in the narrative where it wasn't as present earlier. And Emily, as she's finding her way through this world, you know, she's not very good at social media. She doesn't necessarily want to become an influencer, but she also isn't sure she wants to marry Dylan the lead. She's trying to figure out where she stands in all of this, where she wants her life to go. And it seems like the tension that she's feeling is the tension that I was interested in exploring through her character is, you know, what does it look like to live this public performed life? What do you sacrifice for that? What do you gain from that versus living a private life where you're not constantly feeling that kind of pressure to put on a show about what your personality is like when you could actually just have a personality? And that fine line is the distinction I was really interested in thinking through when I was writing Emily's character.
You're a big fan of reality TV, as am I. But you know, you haven't been on a reality show. You're not a producer. So what kind of research did you need to do, you know, to make sure that kind of the behind the scenes aspect of the book, what was accurate to actually what happens on these reality shows?
Yeah, I think I got to the point where I realized it needed to feel accurate for the reader, but it didn't necessarily need to actually be accurate. And I started to reach this point of understanding when I was trying to figure out how to have 30 contestants on a show, a bunch of producers, there's going to be sound, there's going to be lighting, there's going to be security. This is too many characters for an interesting novel. Like, you're getting into that. It's like the part of the Bible where it's just listing names. You know, it's like, that's not necessarily a plot-driven novel that I want. And so there were certain things I knew I had to slim down on that are not present in reality television that I needed and could take liberties with in writing a novel. The stuff that I found in my research, which was mostly through listening to podcast or blog interviews from contestants who went on these shows who were talking about their experience and behind the scenes, were tiny details that would make the book feel real. One of them that stands out to me is this idea that if you have branded deodorant or toothpaste in the house, you have to get it sharpied out with the brand name because they don't want to be offering any kind of semblance of the real world breaking the bubble of reality television. And so it was those tiny core details that I could add into the book that I was most interested in, rather than like a structural, this is how reality television is filmed, because that was kind of outside the scope of the novel. So I was more interested in trying to find small little details about how it worked versus trying to authentically replicate what it is like to work or be behind the scenes of a reality show.
I think you do a really good job in the book to bring up this idea that these dating reality shows, they're moneymakers. And they're moneymakers not just for the people behind the scenes, right? Not just for the networks, but as you mentioned, for some of these contestants who can make a lot of money as influencers. And you know, it just it's one of these things where I think in the book, you know, you write about this monetization of social media, of romance, really. And how does that play out, you know, in the book, in the sense of, you know, at the end of the day, who really cares if you end up together? I mean, are you better off, you know, going on the show and then making a lifestyle and a living off of this?
Yeah, I think that tension is really present, especially for some of the characters in the novel who really want to get long-term financial gain. I mean, the financial gain you get from the show is you have to build an audience, but you get a set audience from being on the show, which mm-hmm. is really can be life-changing for people. And I think part of what I was interested in exploring with the book is this idea that, you know, that motivating factor is at the risk of being like effectively publicly humiliated to millions of people if for whatever reason your producer puts you in a situation where you act in a way you maybe otherwise wouldn't have in real life. And it's super high reward and super high risk in terms of what it's like to put yourself out there in a vulnerable place, and potentially you can get millions of followers who love you, or you could get millions of followers who thought you were a total and behaved really badly and just kind of want to see you fail. It sounds really stressful as a mm-hmm. like individual thinking about putting myself in that position, but it's also super rich ground for fiction. That kind of emotional intensity is really amazing to be able to write about.
So before I let you go, I do want to dig into, as you said, you're a fan of reality dating shows and what you're watching. But also, as you just mentioned, right, this villain versus a hero thing, because a lot of times when I watch these shows, the first thing I think of is like, they're so young. They're so young, right? I mean, I think the average contestant is about 25 years old. I mean, your frontal lobe isn't even developed, but you're going on there. You're putting yourself out there. And if you are villainized, I think it can have such horrible repercussions, and it's on film. It's there for eternity. You are not the same person at 25 as you are at 35 or 45 or 50, and yet it is going to live in infamy. And then at the same time, I just got finished watching Love is Blind, and there was a couple who was in their mid-30s. The difference between this couple going on this program and meeting by happenstance and ending up together is so incredibly different because they are more formed human beings. Did any of that go into your thought process while writing the book? Is that these just aren't fully formed humans when they go on these shows?
Absolutely. I think Emily is so at sea when she starts the show. She doesn't know what she wants to do for her career. She doesn't know what kind of life she wants to lead. And the show is basically a ticking time bomb where she really has to figure that out quickly. And I think you're so right that the age, they're kids, like they're 20-year-olds, like they're college students.
Yes.
Want anything from my college years to be broadcast on national television. Not that I was doing anything bad, but just because it's embarrassing. Yeah. And so I was very sympathetic on kind of like a structural level that these individuals are very young and they're put in this very high pressure situation, and not trying to have like judgment towards any one actor in the setting of both my novel and on the shows themselves. But there is this contrasting push from producers where it's the more volatile, the more malleable you can get as a contestant, the quote unquote better TV you'll get out of it, because there's more likely going to be high stakes interpersonal conflict because people don't necessarily have the life experience to be able to handle difficult situations well, where there's jealousy, where there's, you know, being extremely sleep deprived, all of those things, you know, knowing what you want from a relationship can come with time. But the people on the show, they're getting selected because they could be great TV, but great TV for the viewer is not great TV for the person on TV.
What do you hope is your takeaway, people's takeaway when they write this book? I mean, it's a great book. It's very fun to read, but I think there are some fairly deep messages in it in regards to our culture right now.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you said that. I really wanted to write a book that was readable. Like, I wanted to write a book that people really could flip through and feel gripped by, but I also wanted, I think one of the points we were talking about earlier in terms of what is the cost of a public life versus a private life, I think that is the main thing Emily is contending with through her course of the novel. And I think if people can start to reflect on that when they're feeling pressure to post pictures of their egg sandwich to social media, be like, do I really need to do this? What is this? How is this serving me? And is this making me feel better or worse in the long term? I think those are the kind of questions that the book asks in a more broad way. And so if one person starts to kind of have that thread perk up in their life, I think that that would be a good takeaway.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today and to really delve into, I think, reality versus fiction when we watch these programs. So thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. This was great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.